Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast. I'm Carrie Butler. Thanks for listening to Breaking Broadway on
the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. Was just recently deceased. A real cool mom, musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me and fly. I am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are brave.
Welcome to this special edition bonus episode of Breaking Broadway. Today I'm so excited to have my Beetlejuice cast, Alex Brightman, Elizabeth Teeter, David Joseph Berg, Adam Danheiser, and Leslie Kritzer Rodriguez. Thank you all so much for being here. And so for those listening, we have been off from Beetlejuice for 2 years. We're coming back, and for me, the best part about coming back has been all of you guys. I mean, every single one of you has made me laugh so much, and you know, we've just gone through a really hard time, and I feel like you guys are bringing me back to myself, and I really, really mean that. So I would love for all of you to share the best part of coming back to Beetlejuice.
That's first of all, what a lovely thing to say. Yeah. No irony there, just a lovely, lovely sentiment to start off this podcast. Ditto to everything you just said. The best thing about coming back is that I think all of us need an audience at some point, whether and you know, spouse and friends is like just becomes it's we need more than that after a certain amount of time. And so having friends and new faces and old faces coming back after 2 years, it's really invigorating as comedians, which I think we all are, to have laughter again. Yes. And new laughter and other laughter. So I am extremely grateful to be able to laugh and make other people's laugh. Other people's? Other all types of people's laugh. And
see what I mean? He just makes us laugh.
And I did miss Carrie Butler's overwhelming positivity and emotionality and all that. No, but I missed having what feels like a family again. Yeah. And it really does feel like a family dynamic. Yeah. It's very nice. It's very comforting to have this back.
Yes. Elizabeth?
Yeah. I mean, sort of the same thing. I feel so incredibly welcomed by everyone within the first day of being there. And just, I mean, like you both said, I've laughed so much in the past few months. And just feeling, I mean, it's so simple, but I feel grateful to do what I love with the people I love. And
yes.
That's, you know, it's just every day is, I look forward to coming to work every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
David.
Okay, so I'm going to have to add, I mean, say yes to all those things, because that's
and.
Yes and. Actually, no, I don't feel any of that. I don't, no. All of that, but the only thing I'll add is that having these 2 years off has made this come back, and it really has changed me so hugely. I feel not only a sense of joy, but a piece of what the show is, of just like living your life and of going for it and spending each moment seems so exciting, and it feels different to me. I came in a little late in the process of Beetlejuice, but and so finding new things and being able to create and being with like every single one of you is so amazing, and everyone who's not here, of course. So I'm just going to add that it's just being in each moment so fully. It feels like a completely different career to me.
Yeah, yeah. The show resonates so much more for me right now. Yeah. Okay, Adam?
Yeah, I would just say the fact that we're able to revisit something mm-hmm. that was taken from us. Yeah. And obviously so much was taken from us, but just professionally, to be able to come back to something, it's so rare that you get to come back to something.
Yeah.
And that informs things in a new way. You get to try new things. I was saying earlier to someone that, you know, you set a show, right? Mm-hmm. When you're racing desperately to set the show, to get to the end, you know, finish line, and then that's the show. But now we get to go back. And that's such a gift also, is to be able to return to something and see what else is going on, because we didn't know it was coming to an end.
I'll say one thing. I know that everyone hasn't spoken, but you just said that something that I've been saying a long time, which is that I think that because the show was taken away, that none of us, and I'm speaking for everyone, none of us were done with the show.
Right.
So we had a lot more to do, a lot more bits to try, a lot more stuff to explore and mine out of the show, that I was so sad when it got taken away for a very specific reason, which is just like, I know all of us and everyone that was going to join the show, there's way more to be discovered comedically. Right. And now we're getting to do that, but it's almost easier because now we're like, let's do a whole new thing. Yeah. Right. So I think that's great.
That, the explosion of happiness on this side of it, right?
Oh, completely.
Is like unbelievable.
Leslie? And,
well, I think what everyone said is just brilliant.
Thank you. Good night, guys.
I think seriously, ditto to everything, but I think the one last thing, after being inspired by hearing what everyone's saying, is that we now have a chance to give this show back to the people and to New York and beyond. And what a gift that we can give laughter and yes. heart back to people, that we need that right now. We need to laugh. People need to laugh. People need to see theater. And I will just never forget walking in the first day. I mean, I can get teary. It's like, I miss being around people, and I miss being around these people. And it felt like a part of me was missing. Yes. And then I walked in the room and I was like, this is what I love to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why our show is special. We all feel that.
Yeah, we do.
So yeah, really grateful to be back.
So Elizabeth has a really interesting journey with Beetlejuice. Our audience is for a lot of like up and coming actors. And I think your story is really inspirational. Would you share it with them?
Yeah. It's strange because I feel like I've sort of been a part of the show for a while, even though I never did it.
Take us back to 2001 when you were born.
it was a blurry morning.
evening, sorry. But no, 2 years ago, I was actually cast March 2020. It was a very sort of fast process, and I was 3 days into rehearsal, I believe. We had just sort of blocked through act one. I think, did we shut down on a Thursday?
I think we did.
I think it was like supposed to be announced like 3 days later or something, and it never was announced. So I went to the theater and met everyone very briefly.
Uh-huh.
I met you on the stairs, and you said, "Hope we have a show for you, elbow,
elbow." I remember that.
And I literally went, "What?" Like I was like, "What is this?"
just what I do.
And I just really hadn't. I mean, I'd heard of you know, the virus vaguely at this point, but I didn't really think it was anything that serious. Like no one did. And I was in the rehearsal studio when we shut down, and we had like an hour left, and Rachel was like our stage manager. She's great. Shout out to Rachel.
Big shout out to Rachel Botter, stage manager extraordinaire.
She was like, "Do you want to walk through what we have? Do you want to run act one?" So we ran act one, and then I left the studio going, "Maybe I'll see you tomorrow." And I was subletting a place at the time. Like I was on a gap semester. I had just graduated high school early, and I remember it was crazy because it felt like the apocalypse. And so I went to the grocery store like by myself that night and everything was gone. And I remember calling my mom saying, like, I think I need to come home, and texting stage management and said, am I allowed to go home? Because I didn't know if we were back in the studio. And then I stayed there for a year. Oh my God.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. And then, you know, like everyone, I wasn't sure if the show was coming back. I wasn't sure if I was coming back. And so it was sort of, you know.
Because we did hear rumors at that point that we were going to move to another theater.
Right.
Yeah.
So small whispers about that.
So we were, there was hope that we were going to have a life after the end at the Winter Garden.
Yeah, but then we just...
And so then you spent the next years not knowing.
I didn't know. I came back to New York last spring just to get out of the house, and I was doing college online, which is anyone out there that's doing that, not fun. And then you know, 2 years later, it was sort of I was brought back in, reassessed where I am. It's, you know,
so you had to audition again.
Yeah, sort of. Already it was weird because it was sort of like a workshop. It was sort of like the time, but I you know, knew everyone. And so, but you know, that's the industry, and it's also been 2 years, and I only had like a day, 2 days in the rehearsal studio. So it was, I feel even more grateful coming back after 2 years about never having gotten to do it, and getting offered to do it again is like really amazing. So.
One thing really quickly is that what was cool about Elizabeth also is that she's very bold in a way that, I don't know if how many people know this, but we connected during that time because you were having these like crises of like, you know, like what's happening? Like this re-auditioning stuff.
Am I coming back?
Is it coming back?
You connected during the break?
Yeah.
Dana and I also were connected with Elizabeth.
Like, I was too,
sort of all messaged. Yes. I like reached out to him and like,
it was just ended up being, what was cool is that now that she's here is that it was like, certain chemistry was already established. So it was like a homecoming. It was like this nice thing to be like, we
didn't feel like a nice to meet you coming in the first day. I mean, it was like nice to re-meet you, but I already felt like you all had sort of accepted me into your family over the past couple of years, even just over social media, over text, over call or whatever. So it really felt like coming home to a family and being welcomed into a family.
And I love that something you had said to me before about how for so long you didn't know whether or not you were coming back with the show, and you just had to, how did you make peace with that? And
I think the biggest thing was just to not really dwell on it, not really. It's hard not to think about, but I have this weird, you know, very like Delia-esque, like everything happens for a reason. But I really believe, I thought after, you know, after the shutdown, I was like, well, if I'm not coming back, then I'm not meant to do the show, and there are many other shows to do. And I was, you know, in school, my classes were going well, and I think that's the only way to look at things as an actor.
Yes, definitely.
Just because you're gonna kill yourself.
It's
not
the only way to look at things, but it is the healthiest way to look at things.
Yeah. I mean, correct. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna say it was hard, but I just kind of had let it go in my mind, and it was just sort of like, well, this might happen, and then so it was like a happy surprise. Excited.
Yes, we're also happy that you are here with us now. And we
so
all
grateful.
Love you so much.
So grateful.
We really do.
And on that note, does anybody
elbows.
Have
elbows?
This elbows turned into
this
a
is
hug.
The Beetlejuice thing. Who?
Does anybody have any good rejection stories? Leslie, do you have any?
My high school girlfriend.
What?
Because I always like rejection stories because I think it gives hope. Like, I love when I hear like my favorite actor was rejected from this show. I feel like it gives me hope. So.
Well, I have a story that's very similar to Elizabeth, but it didn't wind up that I did the show. So I did a revival of Funny Girl in 2001, and it was supposed to come to Broadway. This cast was set, and then 9/11 happened, and so it was canceled. And we had meetings about it. The director was, everything was set. So the same thing happened, and we just waited. We waited, and then it never happened.
I have looked at a video of you singing that, by the way.
And thank you. And it's very, very good. And I was the same age, literally the same age as Elizabeth.
Gosh.
Literally, I'm sitting here thinking of you. I'm listening to you tell the story, and I'm like, oh my God, I was the same age when that happened.
Transition lifetime.
But that was supposed to happen.
That's
the way
right.
It was supposed to happen.
And now you're starring in Beetlejuice.
I could have burnt out. Could have burnt out young.
Anybody else have any great rejection stories?
Yeah, I do, but I feel like I've talked already. So
well, Beetlejuice was going out of town to DC, and I auditioned for it, and I didn't get it.
And you're here now. Happy ending. What's yours, Alex?
I have plenty. I have.
Pick your best. Pick your best one. Pick your best one.
So the one that comes to mind, which I find to be funny, is I auditioned for Glee.
Oh yeah.
Years and years and years ago, when it was first coming out, and I auditioned. I don't even remember the character I was auditioning for, but I was sitting. I sang, which went fine, and then I was doing a scene, and I was sitting and doing the scene, totally memorized, completely prepared. Kind of going well, and I was kind of came up with that sort of crowd, like the Lea Michelles and the John Groffs. That was sort of my kind of generation there, and I was like, I think this is going well. And I was already had done a couple things, and I was like, I think this might happen. And in the middle of the scene, the casting director sneezed violently, really violently. And I mean, like, I was like in this moment of like, look, it doesn't matter what we think. It's like we only have today. So I look up and I went, bless you. And then I went, clearly we're going to stop the tape and we're going to like, you know, and he was like, he went, keep going. Like halfway through his sneeze. No. So, and I kept going, but then it went completely down. I was just sort of like, wait, because in my head going like, this is going to be the tape.
Yeah.
Like all of this is going to be on that. And so I was completely out of my head and I torpedoed the rest of the audition and left going, I was sabotaged completely by this.
All because of a sneeze.
But then I saw Glee and I was like, eh. I'm just joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I didn't like it, but it has nothing to do with it.
Are you joking? Yeah. You don't usually joke.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask some fun questions. Does anybody have any fun rituals before the show?
Rituals.
Pre-show rituals.
I mean, we all navage, right?
We all navage.
Can you explain, David,
what
navage is?
Yeah, we have a device that we stick in our nose, and it shoots. We're gonna. She's getting it today
for the first time.
How was it?
It's fantastic. Magical.
Shoots it right up your nose. This liquid with a little bit of what is it? Saline solution and stuff, and it gets all the stuff out and into the bottom of the navage, and
it's very satisfying to see all that gunk
super
down there.
Nice.
It looks like sea monkeys.
Yeah, sea monkeys.
Am I the only one that doesn't have a navage?
You better navage. You're going to join us.
One of us.
One of us. Shame.
No, I can't.
This is just what we do about
I just do a vocal warm-up. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm an actor.
Yes.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, I do a vocal warm-up.
I listen to stand-up.
Alex listens to stand-up every night.
Every single night. I listen to stand-up, but it's stuff I've heard before. Yes, it's just to hear cadence. It's to hear comedy, other people being funny.
Wow.
And then to hear audience reaction is helpful for me before I get out there and hear it for real. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's been that way for a
bit. Cool.
It came out of nowhere.
I'm learning a lot of stuff here today.
Who is the most likely person out of us to break character and laugh on stage?
Elizabeth Teeter.
That's what I feel.
Yes.
It was Leslie Kritzer.
It was me.
I was going to say Leslie.
It was me.
Oh, it could be
Teeter,
Leslie.
I'm
but
worried.
You graduated. I feel attacked.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you're being
Elizabeth
attacked.
Hasn't been in front of the audience yet, so we don't know.
You haven't seen me in front of an audience.
Right.
I think I would be a lot better with an audience.
Solid.
Yes.
I'm a lip biter.
I see
Leslie almost crack up.
And most of the time it's her own.
Hello.
In rehearsal, I just don't try.
I sometimes laugh during rehearsals.
I think you might have to reassess when we have an audience, but
we'll circle back.
I'm watching.
What are our moments that always make us laugh?
Oh,
I know,
man.
It's always usually at the end of the show for you.
Yeah,
I mean, Alex at the end of the show with Juno.
Yes, with Juno.
And Juno's like, I've never been a good mother. I can't.
Yes.
I kind of look down.
Yes. Yeah, I always see Leslie almost crack. And then
we
for
probably
us,
have a new phone who this.
Yes, new
that
phone
area.
Who this. You always improvise there. And that will get us sometimes.
I find that just when you start going to your places, what I do is I just really invest.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've seen
really
me, but like when you say like, you know, emotions going crazy and all that stuff, I just really take it seriously, even though inside I'm freaking dying.
Well, but I can say wholeheartedly, and you know this, Adam, that sometimes just looking at you on stage, I will start laughing. And it's
but
because,
that's different.
No, it's because of that. It's because of out of all this madness, you are this sort of staid presence. And to me, there is nothing funnier than like pure honesty. So when you just say things like, I'm very good at sex. It doesn't need so to be funny because it's so true. Funny. And I find
it
to
is
be...
true. I mean, that I.
But Adam, the hair flip. It is. The hair flip. God,
I no, I just, you know, I, that's to me that. Is I think the person flip. That breaks me would be, I would say it breaks me the most is you because mm-hmm. it's just, there's some moments that are just so wildly absurd
so funny.
That, and I don't brag often, but when I do is most yeah. typically with you.
Oh,
yeah. It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or myself.
Or myself.
Scotty.
Okay, everyone. I want you to yell out this answer at the same time.
Seven.
Oh, that's my gosh.
Weird. Broadway dads.
That's weird.
Okay, who is the most likely to fall asleep during rehearsal? One,
Danny
two, three, Danny!
Danny
Rattigliano.
Danny
Rattigliano.
Danny Rattigliano.
No way. I was going to say Leslie, but I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know why.
Okay.
Hmm. Who's most likely to change the entire melody of a song?
Leslie.
Me,
absolutely. With Alex, good. Alex is a
yeah,
close
Alex
second.
Close second.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
sure.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
He's crazy.
Okay. If someone in the cast here was to appear in a reality show, what would it be?
Well, who's the person?
You can pick.
Oh, okay.
Real Broadway Dads of New Jersey.
Real Broadway Dads of New Jersey.
Seven. Yes, yes. The two of them would be in the Real Broadway Dads of New Jersey.
No, that would be right. That's for sure. Oh. Totally right. Or Kelvin would be on The Bachelor.
Oh, oh my God.
As the host.
As the host.
Okay, now we have some fan questions. I asked the fans to write in some questions. And this
we still got fans, guys.
Yes.
This question is for Adam. Uh-oh. What do you think would the new Charles scene be?
What would the new
Adam has been posting all of these pictures on Instagram of the new Charles scenes.
Wait, those aren't real?
So what do you think would be the real
a real new Charles scene?
Maybe your dream scene?
Maybe
he
like
seems
a
home
like,
now.
Maybe like a dream ballet. Yes. I think in
unpack
the underworld.
This.
What's that?
Unpack that, Adam.
Our entrance.
In the netherworld. I could see...
We have a duet.
Well, we were thinking about dancing our entrance in, but I think even while you're singing home, I think that Charles could sort of, you know, Martha Graham in the background and add another layer to what she's singing about.
Yeah.
Because
I think it'd be emotional. I really
do. Yeah, and we're connected. We're family. So
yeah, you're all laughing that are hearing this, but we're being serious.
Yeah, I'm definitely
Alex Timbers
serious.
Is here listening.
Yeah.
This next one is a very important question, and remember who is hosting this podcast. Who is going to win the next door contest?
Carrie Butler.
Carrie
Thank
Butler.
Thank you.
Do you want to explain the door contest for people that don't know?
We did a door contest where everyone had to decorate their doors for the holidays, and we put a lot of work into those doors.
You did.
I like that you say we.
Almost everybody did it. You didn't do it, right?
I don't do
You don't
that
participate
kind
of... in fun things.
No. Alex says,
the fun thing I participate in is Beetlejuice the musical.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
The other day it was 90s themed dressing up.
Yeah.
And Alex goes, what? Oh, no, I don't.
No,
I don't,
you did. You have dressed up for things before.
Okay.
I have pictures of it.
He said, I don't play children's games
at work. Where was that posted? I didn't see that anywhere.
No, that was
we
late. Yes.
Snob. He does take snob
seriously.
It was late.
They're going to do more. They're going to do more of this. But Alex,
sorry,
I have pictures of you dressed up for rehearsal.
Okay, this When's is not our, a deposition.
Okay. Pajama day.
Anyway.
That's what I want.
Yeah, we're going to have pajama day for sure.
Yeah.
What's the funniest thing that happened on stage? What do you think? Like a mishap?
There was the girl that yelled out, remember?
Oh, that's a great story. Do you want to tell
it? No, you tell it because I am.
So at the end of the show, there's something we do like that I like to call the Wizard of Oz goodbyes, which is I say goodbye to everybody sort of in their own way. And I have a long sort of pass over to Delia. And it's always this long-winded thing that ends with me saying her name wrong. And she corrects me. And I say, we don't hang out very much. But there was a young girl in like the third row right near us. And as I got, she has the best timing out of all three of us. She had the best timing. Walked up to Leslie and I opened my mouth to say something and she goes, back off or leave her alone.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, Beetlejuice is like by nature like slightly predatory and all that. And this young, like empowered girl was like, leave her alone. And it got this humongous show-stopping laugh. Because you could
That's
hear
right.
it. That was the other thing. And Leslie and I just kept, we like just looked That's at each right. other totally stunned. And rather than moving on to the joke, we both sort of like, we knew what was going to happen. We met brains and we were like, she's got a point. And I moved on. And so it was good. Just this like perfect little moment where this young, I mean, no more than 10 or 11 years old, improv genius in the audience.
Brilliant.
She
comes
back. Yeah, she only enhanced the show. I saw her after the show and I said, can you please come back every night?
She said, leave me alone.
Yeah, she said, leave me alone.
Back off.
David and I were upstaged by rats one
year. I can't.
Yeah, after that, the audience saw them and we did it. We're just like dancing. We hear the audience scream. We're like, what's happening? Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, can I say one more, which I think is more of the fans that did this. It's not us. Is that we had a show, and this first part is a little serious. It is. But we right before we started a show, once we had somebody who passed out in the theater. I had to be sort of laid out in the aisle. Well, they're fine now, which is why I'm laughing. So whatever. But what ended up happening, rather than it being like sympathetic or empathetic from our fan base, they were so on brand. And we had about 100 tweets that said, you said in the show that if somebody dies, the show will continue, and you're not making good on this. And I was like, I felt so heartwarmed by our true fans that they would go there. And
on
I just
that
wanted
note,
to bring
we
that up.
Love our fans so
That's
much.
That's what I mean. It's like they stuck to the brand of our show, being like, look, I know this person's probably dead, but look, let's do the show.
Yeah, it's a show about death.
Yeah.
We thank our fans so much. Thank you. We can't wait to see you. Yeah. Hope you get dressed up and come back. Anybody else want to say anything to our fans at the end of this interview?
Rock. You're the warmest, most absurd fans I've ever seen in my life.
The best
and
ever.
And I love
had.
It.
The best ever.
We love you. Come see Beetlejuice, and thank you all for being here, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie. Explain the yellow mic.
Leave it to me.
Okay.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUFS. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, SUFS celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. SUFS has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.